We continue our learning with Nishmas Davim and Menachos and Michal Yaakov and Pidichos Eliyahu and others. Perek Beis Mishnah Yud. Heim Amru Shlosha Devarim. So we mentioned the five Talmidim, great Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Each of them said three things. Rabbi Eliezer, we begin with Rabbi Eliezer. Yichavod Chadercha Chaviv Alecha Kishalach. First statement he makes is that a person's friend's honor should be as precious to us as our own honor. What does that mean? So the Bartunur says, which means, if you read the next line in the Mishnah, he says, don't anger easily. So the Bartunur understands that the first statement of Rabbi Eliezer is really this statement together with the next one. So, and therefore, if he continues, if you are so easily angered, it's impossible that you will not disgrace the honor of your friend. Hare diburacha. That's the first statement. So that your friend's honor should be as precious to you as your own, and therefore a person should not be easily angered. Because you know what's going, if a person is easily angered, there's no way that they possibly will treat their friend, their fellow Jew, with respect. It's really impossible to treat one's friend properly if a person has a very short temper. So this is all one statement. Another Rishonim say no, that's not true. That in fact, this is the separate statement of Al Tinoach Lechos. The first statement is a person's friend's honor should be precious to him as his own. And that's obviously under V'Haftal Rechel Kamocha, and Hillel teach us as a Masecha Shabbos, Yimad Son Ilach Lechavel Chosavid, what you don't want done to yourself, don't do to others. All part of that broader picture of V'Haftal Rechel. The second statement is this person should not be short-tempered. This is the Gemara Masechet Shabbos speaks about the fact, quotes the pasuk which we say in Tehillim on Shir Shalom of Thursday, Lo yeh b'cho el zar, you shouldn't have within you a foreign god. What foreign god does a person have within himself? We don't have an Avodah Zarah inside. Avodah Zarah is outside. No. Anger is inside, and we compare anger to Avodah Zarah. So a person should be very careful not to be short-tempered, because this is tantamount to Avodah Zarah. It leads people, they can't control their temper, so then it can lead to very severe Torah violations. And then number two, or maybe number three, V'shuv yom echad lefnei misasach. What other teaching does Rabbi Eliezer teach us? A person should go do tshuva a day before he dies. What does that mean, a day before he dies? So a person never knows when he's going to die. So of course, the message of the Mishnah is that a person should be engaged in tshuva thought his every single day of his life. Says the Bartanur, adam yodea im asayamas, person doesn't know when they're going to die, yaseh tshuva hayom, do tshuva today, shema yamos lamachar. So obviously it's very difficult to live one's life, and Lichtenstein makes the point, to live one's life at every moment that I'm doing tshuva. Not every day is Yom Kippur, and there are certain things, if we knew it was the last day of our lives, that certain, what our day would look like would look different than a typical day. So, but the idea that a person should recognize that we don't know when our life is over, that a person should always be engaged in Torah thoughts and Yirat Shamayim and thinking about the Ribono Shalom, and that thought should prevent a person, hopefully, from any Avera. So that's an important message. The Tiferes Shlomo says a nice thought where he says, V'shuv yom echad lefnei misasach, means the following. Imagine you're in Shamayim and after 120, and Hashem gives us a chance, V'shuv yom echad lefnei misasach. You have one day after you see, and now you start regretting, you realize what the cheshbon we have, how everything is calculated upstairs, and I have an opportunity now to reshuv yom echad lefnei misasach. You have one more day, I'll let you go back down now and live one more day. What would that day look like? That's what every day should look like in our lives. Then the Mishnah says v'hemi mischamim keneged uran shel chachamim. The next statement of Rabbi Eliezer is person should warm himself next to the fire of the chachamim. So this is a good thing. So fire, on the one hand, is wonderful, gives warmth, gives light, and being in the presence of the chachamim and learning from them, both as role models and from the Torah, is important. But you have to be careful with their coals. The metaphor, of course, that you're not scorched, you're not burned. Because the bite of the chachamim is like the bite of a fox. We'll have to go through all of these examples, these metaphors. And their sting is like the sting of a scorpion. And their hiss is is like the hiss of a snake, of a serpent. So what is it? What does this all mean? So the Baratunura tells you that on the one hand, that we should warm ourselves next to the fire of the Chachamim. On the other hand, the coals are very hot. You shouldn't act in a frivolous way in front of them. They're not your friends, the Chachamim. There has to be a sense of reverence. Because if you don't act properly, if we don't behave properly and understand we're in the presence of Torah scholars, so we may get burnt because of it. We may get punished because of that. And their neshicha, their bite, is like the bite of a shu'al. What does that mean? He says it's very difficult to be healed from that, because the same way a fox, apparently, he says, Shishinav dakos akumos akushos, they have very thin teeth and they're slanted a little bit, and because of that, the bite that they give you is not only painful, but it's very difficult for it to heal, because it goes in on a slant on the side. In order for the surgeon to heal the person, so he has to cut off even more flesh so that he can extend it a little bit, and only then can he sew it up and clean it up. So therefore, we have to be very careful. Those are the chachamim as well. So the fire, once again, is warm. On the other hand, it's dangerous. And their akitsa, their bite, their sting and he says, kashim nishchas nachash, that's even worse than the bite of a snake, is being stung by a scorpion. And lechisha san is a reference to the hiss of the snake, but that's diburan. He says their words are lechisha saraf, which means that we have to be careful when they come, and if they're giving us musa, we don't listen to them. Pirush Acheri says, Hasaraf hazeh eino mekabel lachash kishaar nechashim. Kach, our Talmud Chacham im takni tenu, if you provoke him, v'tavol faiso, he try to appease him, eino mekabel pirush, he's not going to accept it. He says, so unlike other dangerous animals, the nachash, once it's incited, you can't restrain it anymore. You can't charm it, it's going to attack. So it's same thing. It's difficult to appease, to placate a Talmud Chacham once he's been slighted, and therefore, because he recognized, not out of arrogance on his part, but he recognized that he represents Torah, represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because of that, he won't be appeased so easily. So each of these phrases, now why don't we mention all of these metaphors, the bite of a shul, and the sting of an akrav, and the lichisha saraf, and the hiss of a snake. So the Tosfos Yontif says maybe it's the three different levels of excommunication we have. One's called Nidui, one's called Shamta, and one is called Cherem. So maybe that's what it's a reference to. Also, we should understand that the first example is where the Nachash actually, the fox actually bites. So that's an action that he takes, but the sting is very powerful, but it's not the same type of action, and yet the Talmud Chacham can potentially harm a person if the person doesn't act properly, and even their words are, that's the lechisha, that's the hiss, can also be harmful. And then he ends and all of their words are like coals, are like fiery coals. What does that mean? Rabbeinu Yonah says a person, even if a person may be qualified to give piskei halacha based on their own analysis, nonetheless, they have to realize that their talmid chacham may have more experience, may be more intelligent, or they may be in the majority. A person has to be very careful that when he disputes them, that their words are like gachalei esh. We also have the pasuk in Koheles uporeitz gader yishchenu nachash, a person who breaches the fence, and that's the fence that the chachamim have erected for us to protect us from Torah violations. A person will be bitten by a snake, so that's why we use maybe this metaphor here about a snake. Because that's the way we describe the words of the Chachamim. They make enactments, and we think that they're nothing. We could ignore them, but in fact, the Chachamim have the right to punish people And even through death, if they need to, in order so that people keep their words. Certainly through Malkos, they have the right to do so. So therefore, their words, their enactments, their takanos, their xeros are kegacha leish, and we have to be very careful with the words of the rabbis. Perek Beis Mishnah Yudalef. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, Ayin Hara, V'Yetzah, Rabbi Yehoshua also taught us three things. Ayin Hara, V'Yetzah Hara, V'Sinas HaBrios, Motzien Es HaAdam Min HaOlam. So these three things take a person out of this world, out of this world, out of the next world. The first thing is Ayin Hara. So what's Ayin Hara? So we mentioned Ayin Ra'a. If you remember Ayin Ra'a, we spoke about what a person should distance himself from. So one of the Tanam said an Ayin Ra'a. So here too, it's an Ayin Ra'a that will take a person out of this world. Ayin Ra'a is the same thing as Ayin Hara of our mission. It's the same thing. And the Bar Tumah says, what do we say it meant there? She'enu mistapik b'mashra yeshlo, person who's dissatisfied with what he has with his lot. U'machazer achar dvar macharim, therefore he needs other things. He needs other desires, other luxuries that he needs. So that's the Ayin Hara, the Ayin Ra or Ayin Hara. But v'yesh b'farashim, he says, others say, no, they're two different things. There's Ayin Ra'a from what we had, that's a person who's dissatisfied with what he has. But Ayin Hara, that's something else. Shemachnis Ayin Hara, b'mamon chaver, a person who gives an Ayin Hara, an evil eye to his friends, mamon to his friends' financial success, o b'banov, or his children, who mazakon, and he causes harm, as the Gemara says in several places, that Ayin Hara has the ability, a person's Ayin Hara has the ability to harm others. So a person who is an Ayin Hara, it's a very destructive force. So it's true, it harms the victim, the perpetrator who gives the Ayin Hara, but he himself, the fact that he's always looking at everybody else, that he has such a jealousy, so then that will emote him in Olam from not only the next world, this world. He can't live, a person who's always jealous of other people, he can't enjoy himself in this world. So that Ayin Hara that he has towards other people because he's so envious, so such a person is motzi himself in Olam. Next is V'yetzah Hara, that's the person's desires, their lusts. So this is there is also something that a person, and some claim that this even applies to things that the Torah permits, but it shouldn't be a person, shouldn't go away, it shouldn't get out of control. So the Yetzer also is something that takes a person not only out of the next world, but even out of this world. And his whole life he's following his desires and he can't live a spiritual life. So that's going to affect his religious growth, and that will also take him out of this world. The Sinas Habrios, this is talking about Sinas Chinam. Here, baseless hatred a person has also. A person hates other people. Bar Tudor says sinas chinam, and then he quotes the Rambam. Rambam Pirish. No, what does it mean? Sinas habrios. Shemo es chevras habrios. He's disgusted with being in company of other people. He likes to live alone. So what is he wants to be by himself? So why is that motzi a person in the olam? So according to some, it means that he may, if he's always by himself, and he may go out somewhere in the desert or the forest, etc., and he was never with anybody else, so he doesn't have the protection that he may have if he has other people with him. So that will maybe motzi es ha'adam and olam. Maybe we could say a person is always by himself, sinas habrios, in the sense that he hates being with people, so then he doesn't learn from anyone. So that could also be motzi this person from this world and from the next world. And then the Bar Tanur gives another explanation. Vani shamati, and I heard another pshat in this. Adam kasha shemevi olav sinas habrios. Person is just a very difficult person to be around, and because of that, he creates sinas habrios. Vigorim shakol sanu. So it's not that he hates other people, but his sinas habrios, the fact that he, because of the way he acts, he's so harsh, he's so difficult to be around. So such a person is who causes sinas habrios. That will be motzi. That will take this person out of his world, to have no one, no friends, no one to be with, and no one certainly will be a positive influence upon him, because he's the one who creates a sense of sinas habrios.